Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. If you have a Bible this morning, we're going to be in Romans chapter 7. And let me just give you an infomercial right now. I normally don't do this, because what I have found out is that when the preacher's away, the mice will play. But I'm not going to be here next Sunday. I'm starting revival down in Waynesboro, Tennessee, and local pastor down there that I pastored with for over almost 20 years asked me if I would come and lead them in revival this next week, next Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. But let me tell you something. I've got two guys coming that are a whole lot better in the pulpit than I am. And who's going to be with you Sunday morning? My pastor, Brother Roger Freeman. Yeah, isn't that cool? He's retired, and when I called him to invite him, he was celebrating that week, this weekend, his 50th wedding anniversary with Priscilla. And so he didn't think he could. But when I told him who all was coming to church down here, he said, "I'll call you back in 5 minutes." And in 5 minutes, he called me back, and he said, "I'll be there." So Brother Roger Freeman will be here next Sunday morning, and y'all be good to him, all right? He's the man that ordained me and licensed me, and my other pastor, Brother John, went on to heaven without me. So I've still got Brother Roger, though. And then Sunday night, I mean, we've got a fireball from Cunningham coming to preach. How many of y'all know Brother David Mackins? All right, Brother David's going to be with us next Sunday night. So hope to see all of you all faithful and being here to support what's going on. And so I'm looking forward. But today y'all are stuck with me. Say, oh, me. All right. Now, we're in Romans chapter 7 and then partially in chapter 8. My wonderful brother in the Lord, Billy Walker, is doing a great job in the book of Romans. And so I called him to let him know what's going on here. And on Sunday nights, I've been preaching on a sermon series on the Holy Spirit. And it's been fabulous, not because of me. I mean, but God's been doing some great things on Sunday nights in this ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, I don't know what it was that led, but I'm going to preach on the Holy Spirit on Sunday morning. Look at your neighbor and say, "Holy Ghost." Holy Ghost. All right, that's what we're going to preach on. And then, we're going to dive into this, and then I'm going to finish it up tonight. Going to give some more how-tos. I'm going to give an explanation and application this morning, but really going to get deep tonight. And I've entitled the message this morning, "It's What I Do." Or I could say, "It's What We Do." Let's all stand if we can. If we can't, let's just honor God's Word the best way we know how. Romans chapter 7, if you're with me, say amen. Amen. All right, let's start there at verse 14. "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal." Now this is the Apostle Paul talking. "I am carnal, sold unto sin. For what I'm doing, I do not understand." How many of you would say amen to that? "For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me. But how to perform what is good I do not find, for the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but that sin dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There, if you haven't recognized this, let me just kind of help you with it a little bit. There is a struggle going on in the life of every believer. I mean, there's a battle going on within us. It's a struggle. And I see so many believers, so many born-again folks, so many children of God really struggling with this. Some scholars have called this the mystery of morality. In other words, we do things that we know we shouldn't do. We do things that we know, if I do this, it's going to get me in trouble. There's going to be problems with this. If I do this, it's not going to be advantageous for me. It's going to cause major issues. And you know what? We do it anyway. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And so we do these things that we know that we shouldn't do. Right? Let's just take our mask off and agree we're a mess. We are. And then on the other end, there's these things that we know we should do. I know I ought to read my Bible every day, but I don't. I know I ought to read my Bible and then do what my Bible tells me to do, but I don't. I know I should minister to my sisters and my brothers, but I don't. And then my neighbors, I'm supposed to be a witness to them, and I don't. And so, the things, Paul says, the things that we know to do, we don't do, and the things that we know we shouldn't do, we do. I mean, what's up with all this? Have we got spiritual attention deficit or what? I mean, what's going on here? It's what we do. It's what I do. And you know who's writing these scriptures? The Apostle Paul, who was outside of Jesus, and maybe John the Baptist, probably the greatest believer in your New Testament. And he's struggling. He said, I'm a wretch. I do these things I know I shouldn't do, and I don't do the things I ought to do, and God help me. I'm a mess. And so that's what we're talking about today. Is anybody with me? It's right where we live today. I mean, this is right in our wheelhouse, including your pastor. And so what I want to do is try to give an explanation of what the problem is, where it's coming from, and then touch on the solution. How do we deal with this stuff? And so the first thing I think we've got to come to an understanding is that we have a sinful nature. We have a sinful nature. Now, do y'all think I'm jumping up and down and, oh boy, I get to tell them off today with that? No, because I'm with you. And when I got saved, I was 9 years old. I was born again, became a child of God. And God baptized me, immersed me, placed me in the body of Christ. And then the Holy Spirit came to take up residence in my life. The Holy Spirit lives in. By the way, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, which you have from God. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which is His. So, the Holy Spirit lives. If you're a child of God, if you're in Christ today, you have the Spirit of Almighty God living in you. But guess what? He did not eradicate that old sinful nature in you. It's still there too. Right? Come on now, don't sit out there and look all spiritual, okay? We've still got that sin nature in us. One day, that's even going to be taken care of. Amen? And so, we've got these two major problems. We do what we shouldn't do, and we don't do what we should do. And so what? Look at verse 21. He says, I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. Paul is saying, I couldn't obey the law, and even when I was able to obey the law, the sin that I don't want to do was still present. No matter what he did, sin still tainted everything. You know, you can do the right thing out of improper motives. You can do the right thing even for all the wrong reasons. And so sin is ever present in our life, and we have within us this impulsive, compulsive, selfish nature, and it tempts us to live a life out from under the influence of Almighty God. We're tempted to fulfill our own sinful desires, our own sinful wants, and our own sinful wishes. And really, the problem is not so much how can I stop doing bad things. The problem is, can I really do anything good? Now the Bible says, not Pastor Cal, the Bible says there is none righteous. Romans chapter 3. Oh, we can do some good things, and we can do some good deeds, but within us, we still have this sinful nature that has to be dealt with. I was thinking back about all this stuff, and my mind went back to high school days. Y'all, I've come to tell you, the glory days weren't really the glory days. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We glorify all that stuff, but hey, we were playing our arch rivals in basketball one night. We were playing Greenbrier. Anybody here from Greenbrier? Oh my goodness. Mark, are you from Greenbrier? All right, let's all lay hands and pray on Mark, okay? But they were our arch rivals, partly because our math and algebra teacher and one of our coaches at our school was from Greenbrier. And his little brother was an all-state basketball player. And so we were lined up to play Greenbrier that night, and we were pumped, to say the least. And this guard, I played guard, and Shan's here somewhere, he played guard, and Greg Proctor, my buddy Greg, played forward, Bill Organ played center. We didn't have anybody 6'2", you know? But we were five white boys who played together for 4 years. And we all knew what we were going to do. Well, on this night we were playing, and Montgomery Central, Marianne, was also a big rival for us. But that particular night, I just made up my mind from the get-go, we were just going to show them who we were. And so they won the tip and went down and scored. And they're bringing the ball up the court, and the guy I'm guarding, I thought, I'm going to eat this fellow up tonight. And so they run a pick for him, and I'm fighting over the pick. And this guy had been jawing. He'd been talking. They used to talk trash back in the 70s. You think they're talking trash today? And this boy had been talking trash even before the game started, okay? And so I'm fighting over this pick, trying to guard him, and he's got this smirk on his face. So you know what your preacher did? I kind of stuck my foot out, and he tripped and went down in the floor and came up bloody. And then, of course, he told me what he was going to do to me. You know, and the referee came over and got separated us and told me how I was going to do. And then not 10 seconds later, my buddy Greg grabbed a rebound and had his elbow out like this and popped, Mr. Savage's brother, and he went down and came, and his eyes swole up like this. And I mean, we weren't even finished with the first quarter and we'd beaten this team up. And my mama, after the game, said, "What got into y'all?" And I said, "Mama, I guess I just got more bad in me than I got good." And that's the case with all of us. And by the way, those two boys from Greenbrier, Mark, they got to be some of our best buddies over at Austin Peay, all right? anyways, it all comes full circle, but what the Word of God's telling us is that we have within us this sinful nature, And from time to time it rears its ugly head, and we do things we know we're not supposed to do, and we don't do the things we should do. Can I get a witness? And so we've got this nature, and we're fallen creatures. There's none righteous, and that's where the struggle is. Okay? So if you've recognized this struggle, it's okay. That's normal for us. And then secondly, I want to say that we need to be set free. Billy talked about that, I think, in his prayer. We need to be set free from this sinful nature, right? Well, the law cannot set you free. God's commandments, God's standards, God's law cannot set us free. Look at verse 16. He says, "If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good." You see, God's standards, God's commandments, God's laws are good. They show us that God is holy. And it shows us what the mark is, where the mark is, what the standard is. Does that make sense? And it shows us that we can't live up to the law. It shows us that we're short. We've all fallen short of God's standards, God's commandments. And so in that aspect, the law, the commandments are good. And by the way, God's not some cosmic killjoy. And He's got all these commandments that we can't live up to. But He wants us to know what the standard is. And the standard is not cow's righteousness. The standard is the Lord's righteousness. And so we all fall short. And so in that sense, it shows us our need for salvation. And that's why the law is good. And but the law does not have the power to transform us. The commandments don't have the power. They show us what we need, but they can't help us when it comes to giving us the power to overcome sin. Y'all with me? Let me kind of say it like this. How many of you know gossip is wrong? Half of you don't know that? Some of you are scared to death to throw a hand up in there because somebody will say, "Oh, he," you know. Gossip hurts people. I mean, it harms their character. It fractures fellowship and tears up relationships. I mean, gossip is terrible. It's wrong. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that those people who practice gossiping will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's how serious gossip is. And so we know that gossip is wrong, right? And so therefore we don't gossip. Preacher's meddling now, I understand. But it's serious stuff. You see, the law can't transform us. Can't give us the power we need to overcome sin. Sexual immorality, same thing. Those who practice sexual immorality. What is sexual immorality? Sex outside of the bonds of marriage. Oh, you didn't come to hear that either today. I understand that. Back a few years ago, I had a young guy. He's 32 years old. And he came to my office and he prayed to receive Christ in my office and trusted in the Lord and got saved. And we baptized him. And then he shows up in my office with tears running down his cheeks just 2 or 3 weeks later. And I said, "What's wrong, Barry?" He says, "I don't think I'm saved." I said, "What do you mean you don't think you're saved?" And I opened my Bible and I said, "Romans 3:23 says that we're all sinners. You said you knew you were a sinner. And then you placed your trust in Romans 6:23 and Romans 10:9 and Romans 5:8 and Ephesians 2:8 and 9 and went through all those Bible verses again with him. I said, "You said that you put your faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone to save you. Didn't you do that?" And he said, "Yeah." And he's crying again. And I said, "What's the problem?" And he said, "Since the 7th grade, I've been having sex with somebody every week. And I've done it again." The law does not have the power to transform us. I think about I was watching this guy on one of the games yesterday. And how many of y'all have heard of the Antonio Brown mess? Goodness. Well, this guy exploded all over his general manager who'd just given him $30 million to play for them. How stupid. And so he just explodes. We know that losing control of your temper is wrong, right? I mean, when you lose your temper, there's some bad things that happen. Your blood pressure goes through the roof. Did you know that? Your immune system bottoms out. Not to mention the folks that you exploded on. There's tremendous negative consequences for blowing your stack, losing your cool, whatever you want to call that. And so when we know something's wrong, and we exert all of our willpower and energy to overcome this thing, and yet at least when we least expect it, boom, we fall again. Why? Because you cannot overcome our old sinful nature with the law, with the commands. 1 Corinthians 15:56 says, listen to this, the strength of sin is the law. And by the way, the very fact that young man was in my office confessing his sin to me, in my opinion, is proof that he is born again. Because if you can sin and get by with it, if you can sin and not have any guilt or remorse or embarrassment or shame or just feel nasty and dirty, if you can do that, you ain't got the Holy Spirit in you. That's bad grammar, great theology. Because the Spirit that lives within you, you cannot sin. If Jesus didn't get by with our sin, why do we think we can? Hello? And so the strength of sin is the law. You know how frustrating it is to try to live a good life and discover that the best you can do is not good enough? Whew. Is there any help? Is there any deliverance? Oh, yeah. I promised y'all I won't leave you bleeding in here. And here's the good news. Look at Romans 8. Look at Romans 8. Some of y'all hadn't jumped up and shouted in years, and it'd really help you to do this right now. There is therefore now. When is now? Right now. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Y'all must not be as bad a sinner as I am. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. You see, the key is, are you in Christ? And is He in you? Well, if that's the case, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what you did, even before you got to church, you will never have to pay the penalty for your sin. Now, He doesn't say that there'll be no more mistakes, there'll be no more failures, no more sin. He just says there'll be no more condemnation. In other words, no one will ever haul you into God's courtroom again, ever, and say it's back to hell you go. The blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. He sets you free. You don't have to pay the penalty for your sin. And bless God, that makes me not want to see what I can get by with. That makes me want to live for His glory and honor. Anybody that can set me free from who I am and what I've done and not live under any kind of condemnation for all that. And by the way, the devil is so good about bringing up our past. Next time he brings up your past, just tell him where he's headed. He's headed to the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. His days are done. And he knows it. But friend, if you're in Christ, all that old stuff that keeps piling up, keep you feeling guilty. Now, while there is no condemnation, you're out from under the pit. You don't have to pay for your sin for the rest of your life because Jesus paid it all. Love that old song we sing. Jesus paid the price for all of our sin, every one of them. Past, present, future. See, that's why you can't lose what God gave you. Because Jesus is taking care of all of it. What the law couldn't do, Jesus did. Ooh, that's good. What the law couldn't do, Jesus did. Yeah. So, we're under no condemnation. In Adam all die, but in Christ all are made alive. Hallelujah. And so we're under the, let me put it like this. The charges have been dropped. I don't guess anybody in here has ever been arrested. Don't sit out here and look that way at me. The charges have been dropped. Glory to His name. And so we'll never have to pay for that. There's consequences for sin, but no more condemnation for sin. And I've said all of that to say this. How can we, you know, there's power available to overcome sin. Are you ready to hear this? There is power to overcome sin. Look at the latter part of verse 1 in chapter 8 of Romans. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You see, there's a higher law that's out there tonight, today. There's a higher law. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law couldn't do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You see, there's two laws. One is the law of sin and death. And the law of sin and death basically says, the soul that sins shall surely what? Die. Sin leads to death. The wages of sin is death. Sin leads to death. Let me back up. Back when I was a young boy, I would do things that were wrong. But I didn't really... Susan, I would be mean to one of my sisters. Can you believe that? And... if I got into it with one of them, I got into it with all four of them. But I didn't really have any guilt over that until one day the Spirit of God hit me. That's wrong. You're supposed to treat one another with love and kindness and patience. And the moment I knew it was wrong, and I did it anyways, well, right then I became accountable for my sin. I don't know what age that was for you. I just remember what it was for me. But when I heard John Lydda down on the lakeside at Montgomery Bell saying, there's hope for the prodigal son. Oh, glory to His name. So that's the law of sin and death, you see. There's a higher law, though. Did you catch that? There is the law of the life in the Spirit. Did you catch that? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is a higher law. And here's how this... For years, I struggled with this stuff. And then finally, there was a breakthrough. And I learned that the Christian life is not a sprint. It's a walk. Isn't that what He says there in verse 1? He says, do not walk according to the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit. And I began to learn of what it means to walk with the Spirit. To walk with the Spirit. Come here, Diana. Get up. Please. Because she makes me look a lot better. Amen. But what are we doing right now? Honey, did you see that ball game yesterday?
No.
No. You remember that movie you were watching the other night?
Yes.
I thought that was the craziest movie I've ever seen in my life. What are we doing? We're walking and we're talking. And boy, don't you sure look good today.
Thank
I'm so proud. Doesn't she make me look good, y'all? Yeah. Well, if you don't ever take a walk with your wife, guys, every now and then, you'd better get out. And so we're walking together. Well, it's the same way with the Spirit of God. We walk with Him. We talk with Him. We allow Him to do what He wants to do. He lives within us. And I mean, here's what I do. When I get up, it's the first thing I do in the morning. He's the first one I speak to, even before I speak to her. And He's the last one I speak to before I go to bed at night. And then all day long, I walk with Him. And I'm in His Word and I pray. And I'm saying, okay, Lord, I'm with You. You're with me. And Your Word says that I'm to be filled by Your Spirit. And so, Lord, I all of my emotions, all of my attitudes, all my thoughts, all my speech, all my actions, the places I go, the people I see, the folks, the things that I do today, they're all under Your control. I surrender. And I walk with Him all day long. Do I still make? Yeah. I still mess up sometimes. But I want to tell you, I don't believe you can ever really get to the point of sinlessness in this life, but you ought to be able to get to the point where you sin less and less and less. Why? Because you're walking with the Spirit. Are y'all getting this? You see, it's a walk, y'all. It's not a sprint. It's a walk. And you need to be filled by His Spirit on a regular basis. We're commanded to be filled by the Spirit. And that's not anything mystical or magical. It comes through submission and surrender and a yieldedness to what He wants to do. And by the way, when we do that, He supplies the power to overcome sin. Let me give you two or three verses. 1 John 4:4, you ought to claim this promise. It says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. In other words, the Spirit of God that lives within you is greater than the spirit of Antichrist and the spirit of the devil that's here. You've got victory today over the world, the flesh, and the devil, because you have the Spirit of God. And then here's another one. I like Zechariah 4:6. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, you can have victory over those sinful desires, those sinful wants, those sinful wishes. You can have victory over that, but you got to listen to the Spirit of God. You got to listen to Him. And you got to lean on Him. And I'm still working on this. But one day, soon, God's going to be finished with me. And then He's going to come get me and take me to be where He is. And I'm going to see Jesus. And my Bible says I'm going to be like Him. God's not done with you. He's working on you. And it is a walk to walk in the Spirit. Not walking in the flesh, walking in the Spirit, listening to Him, talking to Him. I've almost caused many wrecks out here on the highway because I don't have a thing on my ear or anything. And I'll just be talking to the Lord out loud. And people will drive by and look at me and go, I'll be singing to the Lord. Are you walking in the Spirit? Are you living in the Spirit? There's so much more I can say about this. Galatians 5:16 and all in all. I'm going to dive more in depth into this application of this higher law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus tonight. We're going to talk about how you overcome. But I've already told you how to overcome that. Folks, the Christian life is a life of faith. That's it. Faith. You don't even know if you've got any faith until it's tested. And some of y'all are going through a time of testing. But I want to tell you what, you're going to come out like gold on the other side. Because you've got Jesus. Are you in Christ today? That's the key. Are you in Christ? If you're in Christ, you're convicted about it every time you sin. You've got a love for God's Word in your heart. You've got a love for God's people. From time to time, the Spirit of God whispers, "You're one of my kids, you're one of my children," and God answers your prayers. Those five things you ought to be able to say amen to if you're born again. Let's pray. Father, I just want to first of all say thank you that we are no longer under condemnation. Jesus has paid the price, satisfied your wrath for all of our sin. You lived up to His standards. Lord Jesus, thank you for setting us free from the penalty and then giving us your Spirit so that we can live and overcome and defeat the power of sin in our life. Thank you so much, Lord. And I want to pray for my brothers and my sisters right now. I don't know exactly what's going on in the life of every saint in the building, but I want to pray for them. And Lord, if there's anything that helps us get to where we need to be, it's through prayer. The devil trembles every time we bow our knee in prayer. Help us now in this thing we all deal with. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This is your time of response. You do what God's calling you to do right now. You don't need the preacher to tell you what to do. The Spirit of God is here. You do what He's telling you to do. Let's all stand. You sing and you come, whatever you need to do.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.